Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm and have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. All of our programming available where you like to get your podcasts. Shortly before his trial and crucifixion, Jesus Christ gave an incredible promise to his disciples. And this is a promise that is still in effect for God's people today. And it's vitally important. Let's take a look at it. It's in John 14. We have a few passages today. If you have a Bible handy, it'd be great to get it out. We could look at these scriptures together. John 14, and we'll look at verses 16 through 18. Jesus Christ said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." So this was a very traumatic time for the disciples of Jesus Christ. He was about to be taken and illegally tried and crucified. And so then, of course, that really startled them and shocked them in a lot of ways. And he was telling them, look, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send another Comforter. And he was talking about the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus Christ's promise here to send God's Holy Spirit. And this promise was fulfilled. And as we think about what we read there in John 14, you'll notice that the world, and that's the majority not called by God, they do not have access to God's Spirit. Christ said it would be that way. We read that there in verse 17. It says, "Whom the world cannot receive, that Spirit of truth, because it sees him not, neither knows him." So most people don't have access to that. But God said that he would send it. Jesus Christ made this promise here that it would be sent, and he fulfilled it. That promise was fulfilled. God's Spirit was sent to his people, and that was sent on the day of Pentecost in 31 AD, and that is the day the New Testament church began. Notice Acts 2, we'll see this fulfillment of the promise that a Comforter would be sent, the Holy Spirit would be sent. It's in Acts 2, and we'll read verses 1 through 6. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language." So here's where the Holy Spirit was given. And an interesting point there in verse 6 is that every man heard them speak in his own language. So that gets back to another topic that sometimes is discussed. What did it mean when they were speaking in tongues here? It was a miracle. Every man heard them speak in his own language. That was the miracle there. It wasn't just incoherent babblings. It was understandable. And so that's another topic, but it's worth just noting as we read through that scripture. And notice this quote. This is from the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. This is Lesson 31. It deals with Pentecost and God's Holy Spirit being given. And it says this, "The day of Pentecost is the third annual festival given to ancient Israel. Its Old Testament name was the Feast of First Fruits, since it came at the end of the first or spring harvest." And you can read about that in Exodus 23 and verse 16. Exodus 34 and verse 22, and Numbers 28 and verse 26. The quote continues and says, "It was also called the Feast of Weeks, since it came 7 weeks after the first Sunday after Passover. And those instructions are given in Deuteronomy 16, verses 9 through 10 and verse 16. Since it was also the 50th day of the spring harvest season, Greek-speaking Jews and Christians called it Pentecoste, which means 50th. So this miraculous event powerfully illustrated the giving of God's Holy Spirit to his church. Again, it wasn't given to the world. It was given to his church. And what are God's people to do with God's Spirit? Because, again, it was given at that time, but it continues to be given to God's people. And what are they to do with God's Spirit? What is it to be used for? Again, lesson 31 of the correspondence course. It says, God has given his people a tremendous job to do, both in reaching the world with his gospel and warning message, and in preparing to rule in the world tomorrow. That's after Jesus Christ returns, of course. It says, but he has also given them the power to fulfill those dual responsibilities. God's church could not warn the world today without it, nor could God's people prepare for their future leadership roles without this divine power. God founded his church by pouring out the Holy Spirit on those he had selected. We need God's Spirit to do his work and to grow in spiritual character, developing that character of God. We need God's Spirit to do that. We need God's Spirit. We need his power to be able to keep the law of God. And so we can see here that we are to use God's Spirit to do God's work, of course, and then also to use that Spirit to obey God in preparation to rule in the world tomorrow, again, after the return of Jesus Christ. It's a very needed power, and we can't do anything of value without it. We need God's Spirit to empower spiritual growth and also to empower his work. When Jesus Christ was on this earth as a human, he set an example in this. He did all things by the power of God's Spirit. Think about all the miracles that he did and everything that he performed. He didn't do that on his own, with his own effort or own power. That was by the power of God's Spirit. Notice that. This is in John 14. John 14 and verse 10, Jesus Christ said, "Believe you not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works." So think about all those works that Christ did that are recorded, and raising people from the dead, many healings, casting out demons, miracles. He fed the multitudes, of course. So you can think about all the things that he did. He did God's work, his Father's work, and he performed many miracles. And he said, look, the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. He does the works. And God the Father dwelled in Jesus Christ by the power of God's Holy Spirit. That's how that occurred. Now, in the same manner, Christ will dwell in his people today through the power of God's Holy Spirit. We see this in Romans 8. Romans 8, and we'll look at verses 9 and 10. We'll come back to John 14 in a little bit if you're following along and want to hold your place, but we'll look at Romans 8, verses 9 through 10. It says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Very important scripture there. You know, who's a Christian? Well, a person that has God's Spirit dwelling in them and they're following that Spirit. If that's not the case, then they're not a Christian. Verse 10, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Christ in you, right? Through the power of God's Holy Spirit. God the Father was in Jesus Christ when he was on this earth through the power of God's Spirit, and Christ will be in us. Practically, that means that we will have that mind of Christ in us. Philippians 2 and verse 5 says that. "Let this mind be in you, that of Christ Jesus." So that means our decisions, our actions, those will be the same that Christ would make. And it'll be according to God's law, according to God's will, empowered by God's Holy Spirit. And that really gets down to the crux of what it means to be a Christian. And we just read about that in Romans 8 and verse 9. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So we need the Holy Spirit of God being powerfully active in our lives, or else we're not a Christian. We have to be following the lead of God's Spirit. And again, the world doesn't have access to that, as we read about earlier. It's just God's church, those that he's called. Notice John 14, verses 23 through 24. Using God's Spirit means that we will obey God's commands. John 14, verses 23 through 24. Christ here again giving some very practical instruction that we need to think about. Verse 23 of John 14, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. There's a lot of discussion today, I suppose, about loving Christ. But that means, as he said, keeping my words, keeping the law of God. Christ expounded upon that law. And so we see sort of this paradox where people will claim that they love Christ. They claim to be Christian, and yet they live in a way that's contrary to God's law. Well, that can't be. We read clearly that, as Christ said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And then he says, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Again, these are people that have God's Spirit and are following the lead of God's Spirit. Verse 24, he that loves me not keeps not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So pretty clear here that if we really love God and have the power of God's Spirit in our lives, then we will keep his sayings. We'll keep his commandments. But if we don't keep them, then, well, the truth is we really don't love Christ. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings. And that's what Jesus Christ said. Now, a person could say, okay, well, what are his sayings? Well, you can read all about it in the gospel accounts. And, of course, the apostles and in God's church expounded upon that and wrote about some of that. We can see it's based upon God's law. Notice this quote again from the Correspondence Course, Lesson 31. It says, God's Holy Spirit gives his Spirit-begotten children supernatural power to help them live the way today that Jesus Christ lived while he was on earth as a human being. That's worth really thinking about. I'll just read it again to you. God's Holy Spirit gives his Spirit-begotten children supernatural power to help them live the way today that Jesus Christ lived while he was on earth as a human being. So again, when you study into the life of Christ and you see how he lived, that's the same way that Christians should live today. Not because they have their own power to do that, but because they use the power of God's Holy Spirit. The quote continues and it says, through that Spirit, Christ is enabling them to obey God. See, obedience is so important. We can't be Christians and not obey God. That's just not possible. We've got to be obeying God. Through that Spirit, Christ is enabling them to obey God, overcome sin, and endure to the end of this age. God's Spirit is the power by which God's first fruits are now being prepared for their jobs in God's kingdom. And so it's a miracle. It's a miraculous power, God's Holy Spirit. And people that are using it effectively are going to be conquering, as we read there, conquering sin, overcoming, obeying God, living according to his law, and doing his work, and in so doing, being prepared for their jobs in God's kingdom. Jesus Christ promised that Spirit would come, and it did. And it continues to come today for those that God has called and is working with. Notice this in Romans 6. Romans 6 and verse 13. More instruction here about how to use God's Holy Spirit. It says, neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. See, now again, that's only possible by using the power of God's Holy Spirit. and then take that spirit and go forward in power to live as Christ lived, which means that we obey God. Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. See, Christ made an incredible promise to his disciples, and they needed that encouragement, they needed that comfort, they needed that help. You know, while he was there with them, he could help them. But then once he was gone physically, he said, look, I'm going to send another comforter. And he did. He sent God's Spirit. We read about that in Acts 2, that miraculous day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was given in such a powerful way. But that Spirit and that power continues to be given to God's people throughout the history of the church, all the way to this day today. God's Spirit is a great power that needs to be used, and it has to be used to do God's work, to fulfill the responsibilities of God's work, giving a warning message and also teaching the gospel, that good news. And there's a warning within that, but ultimately it's great news. And then also to use it to grow and to obey God and prepare for future leadership roles in the kingdom of God. God's Spirit is needed for those things, and it is to be used to follow God and to do his work. If you'd like to learn more about God's Holy Spirit, how it functions, how it operates, his plan for mankind, you can study into this. Again, it's in Lesson 31 of the Correspondence Course. That's a Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. That's a free course at thetrumpet.com. Please sign up for that. And also, we have a lot of other literature there at thetrumpet.com. The Incredible Human Potential is a wonderful book to read to learn more about how God is working with mankind and what his plan is. And it includes everybody. And certainly how he's working with his first fruits today. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live By Every Word. Thank you for spending some of your time with me today. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live By Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.